Hey everybody, this is Sophie, and welcome to episode 483 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are going to talk about our undefeated, so far, college baseball teams, fingers crossed. We're going to talk about some memorable moments from the Olympics, and we're going to talk about Perry's ongoing battle with Apple Maps. We would love for you to join us on Patreon if you haven't done that yet. It's at patreon.com/bigboo. Our most recent episode is our live Q&A that we did this past Tuesday night, and we have an episode about to come out with our good friend Hayden Schott. And our March Southern Living episode will be out next week. It's a ton of fun. We would also be so happy if you stop by our Amazon shop to see some of the things that we love and love to use. That's at amazon.com/shop/bigboo. And finally, if you can't be here in Birmingham with us for the live show on April 23rd, you can be with us virtually, and there's a link to that in the show notes. Speaking of the live show, this really is the last thing. There's information in this episode and in the show notes about how to make your Helen reservation if you're going to be in Birmingham from April 22nd to the 24th and you want a reservation in that window. Okay, hope you enjoy episode 483. Hey, everybody, this is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
We just had a 30-minute catch-up.
We did.
Before we started to record.
Mm-hmm. We did. But there's always things. You know what I mean? There's
I know.
There's just business. We have businessy things
we
to
have
talk about.
Businessy things. Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then we have other life things. And so, you know, anyway, it was great. But now we gotta get going, get her done, get it recorded.
Yes, we do. We're here for our podcasting business. Mm-hmm. And so kick us off, Melanie. What's been going on with y'all? What's happening with the Shankles?
Well, I'm going to tell you a couple of things that are going on with the Shankles. Number one, I'm going to say that yesterday on the way to church, I was like, Perry's continual battle with Apple Maps continues. Apple Maps is the best and worst thing that's ever happened to me personally, because I love to be able to pull up, you know, directions to know this is the fastest way for me to get there. It's telling me. Perry never believes it 100% of the time. And here's the problem, that we drive out to church. It takes us about 20 minutes to get to church. And there is a lot of construction there. So the way that Perry doesn't listen, and I'm like, Apple Maps is saying that if we go 1604 to Wurzbach Parkway, he's like, no, that's wrong. It's wrong. So the computer satellite people don't know anything. We ended up going down some back road yesterday that I'm going to tell you just put my shocks to the test and my nervous system.
I was going to say, what's your, let's just say your internal stress level, because I know you're not expressing it outwardly. Mm-mm. Internal stress level on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being my ears may fly off my body. Where are you in that moment?
I'm a full 9.5. I'm a full 9.5 of why can't we just go the way Apple Maps is telling us, like,
but
we can't, Sophie, because Apple Maps doesn't understand I-35. It doesn't understand how things could change at any minute. So anyway, that was fresh on my mind because that just happened yesterday. But other than that, we have continued to watch a lot of Olympics. I'm real sad it's over. It did confirm for me, I do like the Summer Olympics better than the Winter Olympics.
I do too. I think they're just more relatable all the way around in terms of the sports.
Yes.
Because what I do not relate to, as I have mentioned before, is any kind of cross-country skiing experience.
No.
I can't put myself, I mean, not that I can put myself in the place of a track star either. But I have had the experience of running. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you've run on a track before.
I've run on a track before, but I have actually I know how to swim. Like I can, but I don't know how to like go down a very steep incline and fly off of it while I am on a snowboard.
No,
and land without breaking a lot of things. So It's fascinating, but I don't have experience with so much of what they do in the Winter Olympics.
No, it's not as relatable. It's not as relatable. So, but I mean, I feel like it was a banner. I knew last week was going to be a banner sports week because here's what's happened. Buckyball is back on the upswing. We beat Ole Miss and we beat OU. So love to see that. I think we're setting ourselves up for a good run to possibly make the tournament, which there again, beyond expectations for this year. So that was great. Aggie baseball. Undefeated thus far on the season. We walked
it off twice.
I love the grit. I love to see the resilience of the team. We've got a big test coming up. So we play Lamar this week, but then we go to a tournament and we play UCLA.
Y'all play Lamar for what I feel like will be the first of 17 times this season.
Yeah, we do. We love to play Lamar.
Y'all love to play Lamar. Golly dog.
We do. Which is my dad's alma mater, by the way. But anyway, we play Lamar, but then we go to a tournament where we will play UCLA, who is, if you're paying attention, the number one ranked team in America right now.
We are playing in the same tournament. We play Arizona State. We play UCLA. I can't remember the third team we play, but going to tell us some things.
Yeah.
It's going to tell us some things.
Yeah. I think it's like I saw somebody yesterday. They were like, if we could win two out of these three, that tells us this team is going some places. If we go 0-3, we're going to have some questions, you know, like, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, but I love that baseball's back and then the Olympics. So it was a banner sports week is what I'm telling you, which I always love.
In the spirit of that, my sister and I went to Starkville this past Friday. And we had lunch with our friend Grant, which is the second time in a week that I've gotten to do that, which, you know, always love seeing Grant. Grant is one of my best friends since college.
Yeah.
So we have known each other for a long time. And so we got to see Grant. And then we went to the Friday night ball game or Friday afternoon ball game at State. We were playing Delaware and it was so fun. The weather was great. It was a little hint of a breeze, but it was not cold. I think it was a different experience yesterday when people were at that Sunday game, but we had a little bit of a cold snap here in the Southeast. But we went to the Delaware game. I got to see my friend Tracy. I met a couple of podcast friends at the game, which was so fun.
That's fun.
It was, and their families. And anyway, so we came back Friday night, and then Saturday I woke up and I was like, today I'm going to write.
Yes.
I'm going to turn on college baseball. I'm going to turn down the volume and I'm going to write. And then Jackson came over and then Alex came over. And then I was like, well, you know, I may cook a little something.
Yeah.
And so all that to say, what I ended up doing was actually cooking a whole lot and got to do some good visiting over the course of the day. But we actually, after the State game was over, we turned it to y'all's game. Suzanne and I listened to y'all's first game when we were coming home from Starkville Friday night. So all the walk-off drama of that.
Yeah.
And then we were watching, what y'all went to 11 innings on Saturday, didn't you?
Yeah, it was bottom of the 11th. Yeah.
Okay. You know how I like to call, I like to think that I have some sort of intuition for when somebody's going to hit a home run or make a big play. And I'll just say it's not firing yet. It's not. Okay. Because the number of times when an Aggie batter would come to the plate and I would say, he's about to knock this right on out of there.
Yeah.
And no, he did not.
Did not.
But we had the best time watching y'all's game. And I was so delighted to see our friends that we don't know who sit on the front row. I love her. I love that. I don't know her. People have messaged before to tell me who she is. But when she gets after an opposing player or it is the nicest delivery of shade you have ever witnessed in your life.
Yeah.
Like, so I told David about how I had loved watching her over the years, you know, watching Aggie baseball. And so then he got so tickled. We also got tickled. There was a man over on y'all's first base side who was really doing the work in terms of trying to affect the game. I think Melanie threw some spells.
Yeah, he's a professor. He's actually a professor at A&M, and that's what he does.
It made me so happy. And so we really enjoyed watching that. And so anyway, after y'all's game was over, Jackson went back. Alex had already left. Listen, he gets his fill of us, and he says
he's gone.
Goodbye. Uh-huh. But Jackson left. And so, and then yesterday, this was the sweetest thing. So David had said late Saturday night, he was like, "Hey, I don't think I'm going to go to the early service in the morning." And I said, "That's fine. If I wake up in time, I'm still going to go." So I did wake up in time, and mm-hmm. I went to church with no makeup on. I just put on some lipstick. I just thought, you know, who cares? Yep. Really? I'm going to get there and it's cold outside and I'm not going to do the whole routine. And maybe this is a sign that I'm becoming an elderly person. Anyway, so I went to church and we were, you know, our service is always small at that super early service, but we do the passing of the peace after we say the prayers and all that. And so we had gotten to the point where we were passing the peace and I turned around and I was like, "Oh, it's Chad. It's one of my former students who I still get together with from time to time. Like we like to go to breakfast on occasion and catch up." And so I had mentioned to him, I don't know, months ago that David and I like to go to that early service. Well, anyway, he came.
Oh, wow. That's so fun.
I know. So when I saw him, he came up and he sat with me like through communion and the end of the service. And so then Chad and I went to breakfast.
Oh, okay.
And that was delightful. We had the best time. It was so good to catch up with him. We went to Lady Bird before the crowd came in. And I was so happy because it was just like unexpected relational fuel in the tank. So I was so happy to see him. And then yesterday, of course, more college baseball. And I did actually get a good bit of writing done. So state swept Delaware.
Yeah.
Delaware was not a bad baseball team. They didn't have pitching. You'll appreciate when we left the game Friday night, they had three guys in right field throwing.
Oh,
and I told my sister, I was like, "I feel like it's so, have you ever pitched?"
Yeah.
Because they went through five pitchers Friday night.
Wow.
So I think they were not where they expected to be in terms of the pitching situation. I think if they had had better pitching, they would have given us some trouble because they were, they hit well and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, that was the weekend. And so we have a midweek game this week. And then we too are headed to that tournament in Dallas where we will see how it goes.
Yeah, we will see how it goes. Well, I'm going to tell you that yesterday, so Caroline had her friend Caroline come to her house. She was like, "Caroline's coming over at 7 a.m. We're watching U.S. hockey," because they're in a hockey fantasy league. They're into their hockey. Like they're both Toronto Maple Leaf fans. I don't know why, but they are. So they
good
were
for them.
Super into their hockey. And so Caroline during church, Perry and I were like, "We need to go to church. Like we probably," and I was like, "Well, let's record the game. We'll watch it after." But Caroline was texting Perry because he was asking, "Tell me what's going on." And so we knew that we had won. But then we came home and we watched the second half of it. We had watched the first half. We watched the second half of it. And I'm going to tell you that when we scored that overtime goal, you want to talk about inject something into my veins. I mean, just that moment of just triumph after 46 years was just so pure and so amazing. And listen, I took it on. I don't know very much about hockey at all, but all of a sudden I was like, "Who is Johnny Gaudreau and why do we have his jersey?" Yeah. And so then I read his whole story about how he and his brother were killed by a drunk driver, which is just tragic. And then when they were taking their victory picture, they went and got Johnny Gaudreau's babies and took them in the picture. And I'm going to tell you that I sat on the couch and wept. It was the most pure, beautiful. I mean, just to see this brotherhood of these men who hadn't forgotten their teammate and honored him. And Johnny Gaudreau's parents were in the audience and his dad was just weeping. I mean, I was like, this picture of him just, he scored the winning goal and then he was missing his teeth. I mean, listen, got his teeth knocked out. I was like, listen, a dentist's dream.
But for sure. Yeah. He didn't lose them in a uniform way either.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, he did not. No, he did not. It was very violent. But like that was such a highlight to me of the Olympics. Alyssa Liu.
Oh my gosh, Alyssa Liu. I'm gonna tell you something. I could put that on a loop.
Yep. Yep.
I could not stop watching that because of the joy.
That's it.
the joy, I thought that is someone who is free.
Yeah.
Like it was contagious. It was infectious. Mm-hmm. It was inspiring. Her coaches over to the side.
Oh my gosh.
Also so inspiring to me.
Yes.
I loved it so much. I loved the way that she cheered on the two Japanese skaters, mm-hmm. who got the silver and the bronze. I thought we can take a lot of great lessons from this whole thing. There was a story yesterday that I saw when Chad and I were at Lady Bird was when we won in hockey, and there was a table of guys over to the side of us who all of a sudden they screamed so loudly when we scored that goal that the whole restaurant, which was packed, mm-hmm. went totally silent.
Oh gosh.
And so they kind of looked to the side when they saw how quiet it got, and they just said, "We won."
Yeah.
Well, then this man who was sitting at the table in front of Chad and me said, "Oh, that happened 10 minutes ago." And they said, "No, like it literally just happened." And then this man starts saying, "No, I saw 10. Now I can't prove it to you, but I saw 10 minutes ago that we won."
What?
And I'm like, "Sir,
why do you want to kill my joy on a Sunday
and
morning?"
And so then, like, so they kind of, they're not arguing, but they're like, no, we were watching live.
Yeah.
And so the man gets up, I guess, to go ask a friend. I don't know. But then he comes back. He says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking, I saw something about the women."
Oh.
Well, and I thought, well, listen, just womp womp on their parade.
Seriously.
Whatever. Anyway, but when I got home, I watched it for myself. Mm-hmm. And then I switched somehow. You know, the Peacock app, it's had a lot going on. I don't know how I got to where I was.
Yes.
Or what I was.
I agree. It's very confusing. It. Yes.
Yes. But there was a story that Mary Carrillo did about what makes Norway so exceptional in these winter games, because they're so dominant, you know.
Yeah.
And really, the sort of the big hypothesis of that is that when kids are little kids in Norway, they have all these sort of open events that are free, and they make sure kids have equipment and all that kind of stuff, and they put them outside, and they let them ski, and they let them go down the ski jump, even if they just slide down it like it's a slide, like it's not competition.
Yeah.
But they said their whole goal is to get kids outside and to fall in love with outside, so that when they get to an age where maybe they start to want to compete, they've kind of fallen in love with the experience of it.
Okay.
What they don't do is start kids on the competition trail.
Yeah.
When they're four, like
mm-hmm.
we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, whatever the age is, where by 13, most American kids are no longer competing.
Yeah.
They don't even start to identify kids in Norway as potential champion caliber athletes until they're 15 or 16 years old.
Oh, fascinating.
I thought it was so interesting, but it was the sweetest story, because you just saw so many parents who were outside with their kids, and the kids, of course, loved it. And mm-hmm. they were talking about just all the different ways that they, you know, just kind of make that easy and accessible for people to participate in.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet. I just thought, well, good for Norway.
I love that. And doesn't that, to me, tie into the Alyssa Liu thing? Because I thought her story was so interesting, that she won when she was 13 years old and was so overwhelmed by it and felt all this pressure and couldn't live a real life. And I'm like, how many kids have we pressured into that existence?
Exactly.
In the name of, you are really talented at this thing, but like at 13, 14, do you really want that to be your whole life?
Yes.
And that she was able to walk away and live her life, and then realized, I do miss it. I miss the competition. I want to come back for the pure joy of it.
And I'm going to have boundaries around it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm going to be, and Perry and I got so tickled at her coach being like, and I drank a bottle of wine when she called.
Yeah, he knew like what that meant.
Yeah.
But she kind of got to do it as somebody with, again, a more fully formed frontal lobe. She got to set the terms for how she wanted to engage with the sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we lose sight of that sometimes. I think that's a huge part. Like, you can love it and be totally mm-hmm. overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was so interesting. Like, we give kids a chance to fall in love with being outside, mm-hmm. a chance to fall in love with doing this with other kids. And just, we don't put any pressure on it, you know, to, And I'm sure there are places where they do put pressure on it in Norway, yes. You know, but just by and large, I love the whole philosophy behind that, because how many over the course of our adult lives, how many kids do we know who burned out on a particular sport when they were 12 or 13 years old?
No.
A lot of them.
Yeah. Well, and I thought that even goes into, because one of my other favorite stories from the Olympics was Michaela Schifrin. And when she won her gold medal, and she had talked about, like, she had gone through so much. I mean, she'd lost her dad. She had gone through a terrible wreck. She had kind of lost the joy of it all, because there again, she had started so young. She had been successful so young. And it's like she came back into herself, was able to win this gold, and like her emotion and just the pureness of, like, that when she realized she had won the gold, that she really just said, I took a moment for myself because I wanted to think about my dad, and I wanted to think about what this meant to me, and just the pure enjoyment of it. And I thought, you did see a difference to me between some athletes in this game that I feel like are under tremendous pressure to win the gold medal, and the ones that have kind of either done that or faced, you know, hard times or whatever, and come back to just, I'm going to do it for the joy of the game. And I'm like, I think there is just something so beautiful about doing it for the love of the game. I think you play looser. I think you're more free. I think you remember why you started doing it. So I don't know.
And you can navigate it with some emotional maturity, which is tricky when you're a superstar early on.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I love those sort of human interest stories that we always get, but I really, really loved the focus on how they're trying to introduce kids to sports in Norway, and it was just refreshing. And
yeah,
so yay for Mary Carrillo doing that story.
Yeah, well, and I got excited because at the end we watched the closing ceremonies last night, just the highlights and all of that. But they ended with a promo for the LA Summer Games, and it was Kate Hudson singing "California Dreaming" while they showed different clips. And I was like, this is brilliant, because I was like, I'm ready for that. Sign me up. It was so good.
Okay. I didn't see it, but I read something about it this morning. So.
No, listen, Kate Hudson, I keep hearing, I had not really listened. She's got a beautiful voice. It was a beautiful version of California Dreaming. And I was like, this is the perfect promo to get everybody super hype for LA. So, and she's kind of the ultimate California girl, you know?
She is.
So I thought that was great.
I also watched last night, I just wanted something, you know, I had been writing and I wanted something that didn't require a lot of me to watch. And so I turned on Netflix and I was like, okay, this is the first thing, this will do.
Yeah.
And it was a series called Reality Checks, but it was all about America's Next Top Model, which I watched like it was my full-time business back in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
And so I think there was four episodes. I watched them all. They're not super long.
Okay.
But they interview Tyra Banks. They interview Miss J. They interview Jay Manuel, who did like the photography, who kind of structured those for the girls. And they interviewed a lot of the former participants. And I remembered most of them. Like, you know, it's kind of amazing how 20 years later you're like, oh, yeah, I remember her. Anyway, it really caused some. There it is.
Yeah.
By the way.
Listen, they've been going the whole time. It just got super loud. And that's not even in our yard. I'm not sure who it is.
Well, it's Monday. So it's time.
It's time.
Anyway, it was really kind of sobering. I thought, you know, we've learned a lot over the course of the 2000s. And maybe one of them is that there's just certain stuff that's not okay.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. And I don't know. I had a lot of thoughts about it just in terms of, you know, how we can sort of unintentionally set people up for failure, or we can unintentionally give them really unrealistic expectations for how something's going to change their lives. Mm-hmm. So that part was not the easiest to watch, but it was really, really, really interesting to hear Jay Manuel's perspective in particular, and Miss Jay, who, you know, is the runway coach, and Nigel, who the photographer, who seems like he is one of the really, truly nice guys out there.
So. I agree. And he always did, you know, he always did. So, well, I'm going to have to watch that at some point. I have still, listen, I'm in the third and final book of my Russian War trilogy.
I appreciate the commitment. I really do.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm going to be honest. It needed to end one book ago. It needed to end.
But I'm
committed. Yeah, I'm committed, and now I got to see it through till the end. But it started off, and I was so. But the thing now with Soph is the war is over, and now so it's lost some of its luster for me. What I'm saying. Sure. It's a little more just mundane, real life stuff, and so anyway. But I'm going to be finished with that, and then I can catch up on other stuff. Now, something that I wanted to ask you about, because I had a good laugh at this. So I was listening. So I know you had Cole and Catherine over for dinner last Tuesday night.
Yes, we did have Cole and Catherine over for dinner. And what a delightful time we had. A delightful time.
I was real sad to miss it. But when I listened to Tuesday Date Night, they talked about that y'all got in a conversation about, and I can't remember what the premise of it was, but it was of what kind of valuable artifact you would want to have? What would mean something to you if you were collecting valuable artifacts?
Yes. And this was Cole's, really like, this was his passion project for the night.
I could tell he felt strongly about it.
He felt really strongly about it. And Catherine and I were so frustrating to him. Because I was like, what do you do with it? Like, why do I want that? Where am I going to put it?
What I wanted to ask you, because as he was telling her, and he was like, you wouldn't want to have a T-Rex fossil? And she's like, no. You wouldn't want to have the Declaration of Independence? No. And
the stupid Declaration of Independence. It was really, there are only so many copies. Okay. What am I going to do with it? I mean, I don't have anywhere to put that.
Mm-hmm. No. Until he brought in the fact of like, okay, if we're talking about from a resale point of view, if it fell into my hands and I could sell it to somebody for $10 million, sure. But just to have at my house to be like, hey, y'all, look what I have. The Declaration of Independence. Who cares?
He's like, but it's rare. It's rare. Like, not everybody has this. And I was like, okay, I still don't want it. Mm-mm. Like, I said, you know, I love art, but not if it doesn't have some personal meaning to me. Like, I don't necessarily want to collect art. I don't want something super valuable here, because then you got to like protect it. And that's not interesting to me.
Yeah.
I don't. He was like, what about the gun that they used to kill Abraham Lincoln? And I was like, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. I don't.
No. No, that was when he threw that out. It was like, who cares? Like, what? And I was like, is that a man versus woman thing? Because I haven't even asked Perry, because I'm like, that's going to be a whole conversation.
Maybe I don't know, because even David was like, I don't necessarily want a lot of old stuff.
No.
So David had a hard time thinking about anything he would want to own that was a rare collectible. Mm-hmm. But Cole does like he loves, you know, sports cards and all that kind of stuff. So he has a connection to a collectible.
Yeah.
I think the other three of us don't. But man, he really, I mean, when I tell you he went through an assortment of rare objects trying to get Catherine and me to bite.
Yeah.
It's the rarest Patek Philippe watch. Okay. I don't want it. Like, yeah. I don't want it. Mm-mm. I don't find any contentment, satisfaction, or even really interest in owning something that's, you know, a collectible. It's just not my thing.
To me, unless I have a sentimental tie to something,
like that
I get, but just for the pure value of something, I'm like, or the rareness of something, I was like, no, I don't care about that. He kept listing stuff to Catherine on the podcast. And I felt like you and I fell in the same category in this, because I was like, I bet Sophie didn't care either.
I didn't.
No.
I did say, I said, now, there could be dishes. That if there was a really beautiful old dish, but it wouldn't matter to me what it was worth. It could be worth a dollar. But if I thought it was beautiful and I could serve food in it, and Catherine was saying, she was like, yes, dishes, because we both love those pretty dishes and glasses and all that kind of stuff. But I don't need for it to be rare. I need to have some sort of reaction to it. And I'm just not going to have a reaction to a copy of the Declaration of Independence.
No.
It's not that it's not an important document. I just don't need to possess it.
No, I don't need to, because I can Google it online and read it if I want to. And so why would I want to own it? And then that just becomes some fragile thing. Yes. Okay, so my sister and I have been going through a lot of my grandmother's old things. And two of them they're like my great grandmother's old Bibles, which is so cool in theory, but they're so brittle and they're so fragile that you can barely even turn the pages. So it's cool to have them.
Yes.
But you can't do anything with them. It's not like I could, you know, it's just, okay.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. It's the whole thing of like, you're not going to get rid of them, but also they're not practical. So I don't know. But Cole kept going back to, he's like, but if you had like a T-Rex toe, and I was like, who cares?
When I tell you, I mean, he was really, really frustrated by us
in
the sweetest way because we did not understand, you know, why this should mean anything to him.
And then he threw out the Auburn. He's like, if you could have the football from the kick six game. And I think he really thought he was going to get her on that one. And she was like, I see why you would think that was cool. But I don't care.
Like, I don't care.
No. And that was it. That was a moment. But I don't need that football from that game. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Cole did have on some shoes, though. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, this is more in our wheelhouse. And I knew that he said these particular shoes, it's kind of Nike. He said that they were the most comfortable shoes he's ever worn in his life. And when he said that, I pointed his shoes out to David and I said, Cole says these are the most comfortable. Mm. And that did light a bit of a fire in David Hudson because he was like, well, tell me more about them. And so Cole tells him all about him. And he said, you know, I got him at Track Shack here in Birmingham. And David was at Track Shack 2 days later and got him a pair of those shoes too. So that was a lasting memento of the evening, just not a brittle historical document situation. But, you know, we have some new shoes in our house as a result of Cole's influence.
So it's the Vomero, right? The Nike he's been talking about.
Yes.
The Nike Vomero. Yes. Yeah. Because I looked them up and I was like, well, those look like moon shoes. I'm sure that they're comfortable, but I was like, style-wise, I don't know that I love them.
Well, they add about 3 inches to whoever's wearing them. And so because David got them out when Jackson got over here Saturday. He was like, just slip these on. Just slip them on. And Jackson's already tall. And Jackson was a solid 6'5", 6'6" in those shoes.
I bet.
So anyway, he's a big fan of them. He's real carried away with them. Okay, I do want to mention, I've gotten messages from several people who were coming to the live show, the April 23rd show here in Birmingham, and are very concerned about their Helen reservations.
As they should be.
How do they make sure they get Helen reservations? Mm-hmm. And is Helen going to hold tables for the Big B people? And anyway, which I totally understand. Here's the thing. Helen has typically done 60 days out reservations, or in the past, they've done 60 day out reservations on Resi, but they have recently switched to a 30 day out reservation.
Okay.
Which means that those dates, you know, like say April 22nd through April 24th, would not be open until towards the end of March. So I talked to our friends Bailey and Daniel at Helen last week, and they have come up with a solution for our people. So, if you are coming to the Birmingham Live Show and you want to get a reservation for Helen on those dates, April 22nd through 24th, keep in mind Helen's also great for lunch. You don't just have to do a dinner. You can email, and I'm going to put this in the show notes, but you can email info@helenbeham.com. And in the subject line, put Big Boo, and you tell them when you are hoping to get a reservation. Like if you want one for Wednesday night, if you want one for Thursday lunch, if you want one for Friday, and they're going to, in just the order those emails come in, they're going to process those and do their very, very best to try to get everybody in. You may not get the time you want. There may be more demand than there is supply, but they're going to do their best to let our people have those tables before they open up on Resi later in March.
That's so nice. Listen, Helen continues to be so kind to us. I love that.
I know. They're so kind. And also don't forget there's Bayonet next door, which is owned by the McDaniels, the same people.
Yeah.
And it's a different kind of restaurant, but it is equally wonderful. So, but anyway, I'll put all that info in the show notes. You just need to make sure you use the phrase Big Boo in your email and they'll process through those and hopefully get everybody settled.
Delightful. Listen, thank you, Helen. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. All right. Is it time for five favorites?
Time for five favorites. Okay, this first thing, Gully and I, and we're in College Station a couple of weekends ago with our friend Meredith, and we went in a little boutique there, and Gully showed me this Breath is a Prayer devotional book because they had it there. And she said, hey, I got this for Christmas. I think Jackson's girlfriend gave it to her. And she said, it's so good. I think everybody needs to have it. So Mare bought it right then. I did not because I was already doing a devotional at the time, or I had something. So I was like, I'm not. But then Gully and I were talking the other day, and she was like, I cannot recommend this enough. So I bought it. It is how I am going to spend Lent, at least part of it. But it, like, I started it 2 days ago, and it's all about these, it's like, it's about breath as a prayer. So it's all about to help you with your anxiety and to help you have a calm spirit and to help you focus. And so, like, it starts with the example is like you read a little short devotional, but then it's like you breathe in, the Lord is my shepherd, mm-hmm. and you breathe out, I have all that I need. And that I started that when, you know, I was really struggling with anxiety a lot a year or two ago. And when we had Ree Drummond at the live show and she gave me that surrender novena.
Yes.
And it's that same principle where it's like, Jesus, you take care of this. Like, Jesus, you take care of everything. And that process really helped me. But this is like another step of that, where every day it gives you these really short. And I love that because it's the whole thing of when you start to feel your nervous system flare up, mm-hmm. when your husband is fighting with Apple Maps on the way home from church, what you can do is you can breathe in. Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. So anyway, if anybody is looking for something, I love it so much. I immediately ordered one for Caroline too, just because I think all of us, I think it's such a good practice to just have that moment of calm and to remember who's in control.
Yes. I love a breath prayer. Well, I do it a lot in Pilates because especially when you're doing warm up and the motions are so rhythmic that it's, you know, like when you inhale, when you exhale, I don't know. It's been calming and helpful to have a breath prayer in my mind as I do that. So I love that.
I really love it. So highly recommend. The second is I love my Lancome Defensils mascara, but I was wanting to try something different.
Yes.
And so I got this L'Oreal. I've had it before, but it's been years and I'd forgotten about it. But it's the L'Oreal Voluminous Superstar Mascara. So it comes with the primer on one side, the mascara on the other. And I have to say, I'm really loving it. It's a great, the primer really like helps thicken your lashes and makes them, you know, feel longer. And then I just kind of let that dry while I do my lipstick. And then I do the other coat, but it's not clumpy. I feel like it makes my lashes look really long. It doesn't smear. It's just been a great, I don't know. I just needed a change. And so I really like this one.
I know. I think sometimes your eyelashes, and this is a bold statement.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes eyelashes, just like sometimes you need a different shampoo just to mix it up. I think sometimes your eyelashes need a different formula. You know, I don't know how that works in terms of science. I'm just saying sometimes it feels like a little refresher to just give them a different product. You know, it's nice to rotate a little bit.
I agree. And I feel like my lashes, I don't want to get into my problems necessarily.
Sure.
But I do have this one eye, I think I've talked about, where all of a sudden, every now and then, I tend to get a bald spot right in the middle of my eyelashes. Yes. And so I think sometimes I do need to. I'm like, part of what it needs is something different. Like, I really have to baby that, because when those little baby eyelashes come back, I'm like, I have to treat them with tender, loving care, because I don't know when they're going to go away.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to continue to pray for that for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're
going to
breath prayer for your eyelashes, Melanie.
Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all the eyelashes I need.
I have all the eyelashes I need. Mm-hmm. Yes. So restore my eyelashes.
That's right. And so anyway, that's that. Catherine and Cole on their podcast there again, she was talking about how she loves, I think they're watching Landman, but she was like, she loves to get her orange at night and her Lola blanket. And I was like, and Cole and I think their daughter Kit decided to buy her this Lola blanket. And I was like, what is a Lola blanket? This was a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, what? I'm so intrigued by a Lola blanket. So I looked them up and I was like, oh, okay, that looks good. Well, then 2 weekends ago when Caroline's friend Caroline was here, she had a Lola blanket that she traveled with. She brought it with her.
And that's impressive.
Listen, I admire the commitment. You know how you know somebody's your person? When they show up with their tote bag full of their Lola blanket. But she brought it. And so she let me experience with her on the couch. We sat on the couch and she was like, here, share my Lola blanket. It's the dreamiest, best thing ever. Like it... I am currently in a state of I'm not spending any money in February except for things that are necessities. So I cannot purchase this currently, but what a dream. I mean, it's a great weight. It feels fantastic. So it almost functions kind of like a weighted blanket, but it's not a weighted blanket. They come in a million colors. I mean, 100% I get the hype over the Lola blanket.
So this was a whole topic on my Mahjong group text last week, I think.
Okay.
Because they were on, the Lola blankets were on sale, and they still have a discount. But I didn't really know anything about them either. And so when I looked, I was like, oh, okay, $125 for a blanket is a lot. But then I realized that that is not, in fact, the full size one. Mm-mm. So, but I really did look through all the colors, all the patterns, and man, it is a temptation for me as well. Mm-hmm. It certainly is.
Yeah, really good. So anyway, if you're looking for a blanket, they make baby versions, so it would be a great gift. If you just want to treat yourself, I'm just saying.
Yes.
The next thing, I have an ongoing list of things. Does it count that you're not buying stuff for yourself if you have an ongoing list of all the things you want to buy in March when you decide to buy for yourself?
It doesn't count. You're just planning. You're organized.
I'm just keeping it in mind. Mm-hmm. But when I saw these Sesame clogs on the Free People website.
Yes.
This is my whole entire fashion personality in a shoe.
It 100% is. It is Melanie Schenkel in shoe form.
It is.
It's everything you love in a shoe.
It is. It is.
Everything.
It's a wooden platform. It is a chunky heel. It is leather. It's clog adjacent, but you've got the strap.
It's an ankle strap.
It's an ankle strap. I'm so in love with these. I'm so in love with this shoe. It is perfection. I'm going to get them in the tan. But I feel great about it. Somebody said that maybe they're not necessarily like the leather can be a little bit. I'm like, listen, you can soften that leather. I'm not even worried about it. I want to make those shoes work.
Listen, you need to talk to Cole because one of the things we talked about when they were here for dinner is how he likes to soften a baseball glove and break it in.
Oh.
So I think you could use some of Cole's baseball glove techniques with these clogs should the leather feel like it's not super pliable.
Listen, this is a good plan. This is there all of a sudden, Cole and I have another place where the Venn diagrams of our lives intersect.
You do. I really like this. Is it Vachetta? Vachetta?
That's a good color.
I really
too.
Love that color. I don't mean to plan about these either, but I need a shoe that neutral.
And that's a good one. Yeah, they're really good. And I love wearing, I've got some like cognac colored suede booties with a heel that I love wearing this time of year, but I need a spring summer version of those to wear.
Yes, you do.
You know?
You certainly do.
It is a necessity. Yes. So
I'm putting these in my cart. Mm-hmm. I certainly am.
They're really good. So, and did I tell you, speaking of Venn diagrams, I told you this was just a funny little side note. You know, Perry had been researching all his stem cell stuff and he was watching all these interviews. And then he came across, I can't remember what the guy's name is. They call him Shrek, but he's Erica Jane's new boyfriend on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah. I've heard her talk about him and I have read about him also. Yes.
And he's a former like Delta Force, Green Beret, something. And so Perry was like, so-and-so. And I was like, oh yeah, Shrek. And he was like, how do you know that? And I said, well, he's dating Erica Jane from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And he was like, I don't even. And I was like, he said, who is that? And so anyway.
Listen, we have a shared interest here. Let's embrace it.
And mm-hmm. it doesn't happen very often. So I was mm-hmm. like, this, we finally found something that we can bond about, you know?
Yes.
So, okay. And the last thing is, Soph, I don't know if you know, but it's all about the peptides right now.
The peptides are huge right now.
The peptides are having a huge moment. The peptide PR team is working overtime. You know, I have fully bought in to the peptide hype because
certainly.
Mm-hmm. it is supposed to do amazing things. So I ordered for myself probably back in January and I was waiting. I got this copper peptide face cream. Okay. It's part of a Korean skincare line. It's a multi-peptide powerful anti-aging formula for fine lines, firming skin elasticity. I'm going to tell you, it lives up to the hype. It really is making a difference. Mm-hmm. I use it every night after I wash my face. This is the first thing I put on my face now. And then I let it soak in. And then later on, I put on my, like my nighttime moisturizer. But I really do think it is, I can see where it's lightening up, you know, some of my hyperpigmentation.
Well, sure. Yes. Yes.
The price is right. It's under $30. Mm-hmm. You just need a little bit. So anyway, the copper peptides, I'm a believer and I'm a big fan of this face cream.
You know, I have a Korean skincare moisturizer that's been one of my five favorites too. And I really like every day when I use it, it's also very affordable. And I think, you know, they're onto something. They're onto something with the Korean skincare. They're figuring out some things that we have not, because I like the simplicity of it. You know, it doesn't have a bunch of scent attached to it. Mm-hmm. It's just, but it gets the job done. So I'm really glad to know about this.
Yeah. It's did I tell you about Caroline, in one of her grad classes last semester, there were several Korean students and she befriended one of the girls. And that she gave her that basket of Korean skincare, like real Korean skincare from Korea for Christmas. And Caroline's like, these are some of the best face masks I've ever used. Like, they're so good.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's it for this week.
Well, thanks so much for your favorites. Thank you for the shoe and skincare encouragement. We're better for it. And I'm really going to contemplate these shoes in particular deep in my spirit.
Yeah.
Over the next few days. Yeah. So,
well, listen, I will be contemplating them come March 1st. But
good for you. Good for you.
Holding out. I really want them this weekend, but I'm like, nope, I'm not going to. So that is that's just how sacrificial I am. But
right. Yeah. You're that disciplined.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's it for this week.
All right, y'all. Well, thanks for being here and we will talk to y'all next week.
All right. Bye everybody. Ow.